Charles Spurgeon, Part 14. There never was any genuine repentance in this world which was not the work of the Holy Spirit. For this purpose our Lord Jesus has gone on high, he is exalted on high to give repentance and remission of sins. All true conversion is the work of the Holy Ghost. You may rightly pray in the words of the prophet, "Turn thou us, and we shall be turned, for until God turn us, turn we never shall, and unless he convert us, our conversion is but a mistake." My hearer, thou must hate thy sin, or God will hate thee. Thou must turn or burn. Thou canst not have thy sins and go to heaven. Ah! I have no pardons to preach to you who settle your minds to continue in sin, no gentle notes of love at all, nothing but a fearful looking for of judgment and of fiery indignation. But ah! If you loathe your sins, if God's Holy Spirit has made you hate your past lives, if you are anxious to be made new men in Christ Jesus, I have nothing but notes of love for you. The door is shut and fast bolted to every man who will keep his sin, but it is wide open even to the biggest sinner out of hell, if he will but leave his sin and lay hold of Jesus and put his trust in him. But of what use is a revival to an unpardoned sinner? It is like the soft south wind blowing upon a corpse; it can bring no genial warmth therewith. If you repent, and be converted, then, amidst the general joy of the revival, you shall have this joy, that your sins have been blotted out. What a mournful cry is that! The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. I think I hear that cry from some in the tabernacle this morning. In some ages the enmity has burst forth into open persecution. Herod has sought the young child to destroy it, Haman has sought to destroy the whole generation of Israel, stakes have been erected, and the faithful have been burnt, racks and inhuman engines of cruelty have been fashioned by the art of man, through the malice of his heart, to exterminate, if it were possible, the children of the living God. At this particular time the warfare is not less bitter, but the restraints of providence do not allow it to display itself as it once did, and it now generally takes the form of cruel mocking, so that our text is as applicable to the present race as it was in David's time: "Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge." But, after all, sir, you know very well that there is more manliness in refusing to sin than there is in sinning, that there is more pluck in saying, "No, I cannot," than there is in being led by the devil, first into one sin, and then into another. And these men of the world that have this high spirit, and are so bold and brave, what is it better than the high spirit of a lunatic, who dares to put his hand in the fire? I dare not do that which would dishonor God. I am thankful to be such a coward that I dare not venture it. Perhaps it was a little persecution, or maybe it was some discord in the church, perchance it was a loss in business, or it might have been some outward trial, but, whatever it was, he braced himself for the trial. The true Christian ever says within himself, through floods and flames, "If Jesus lead, I'll follow where he goes." Now that he had received the weapon of all prayer, he found that he had need of it as he walked through that desperate place, the valley of the shadow of death. God does not give his people weapons to play with, he does not give them strength to spend on their lusts. "Lord, if thou hast given me these goodly weapons, it is sure I shall need them in hard fighting." How ought those who are mocked behave towards those that mock at them? Well, the first thing is, never yield an inch. The best refuge for a believer in times of persecution is his secret resort to God. Let him to on his knee and say, "My Lord, I have been counted worthy to be spoken ill of for thy name's sake. Help me to bear it. Now is my time of trial. Strengthen me to bear this reproach. Grant that it may be no heavy burden to me, but may I rather rejoice in it for thy name's sake." God will help you, beloved. Then next to that, pray always, most for those who treat you worst. make them the constant subjects of your prayer. And then I would say, in your actions, prove the sincerity of your prayers by extra kindness towards those who are unkind to you. Heap coals of fire upon their head. Nothing makes rest so sweet as toil, nothing can render security so pleasant as a long exposure to alarms, and fears, and battles. No heaven will be so sweet as a heaven which has been preceded by torments and pains. Moreover, you and I might be taken for cowards, although we may have fellowship with him in his glory, if we had no scars to prove the sufferings we had passed through, and the wounds we had received for his name. Methinks if I could go to glory before I had converted all the souls allotted to me, I should not be happy, but that would be impossible, for God will not shut his saints in till they have been spiritual fathers to those appointed. A tried saint brings more glory to God than an untried one. I do verily think in my own soul that a believer in a dungeon reflects more glory on his master than a believer in paradise, that a child of God in the burning fiery furnace, whose hair is yet unscorched, and upon whom the smell of the fire has not passed, displays more the glory of Godhead than even he who stands with a crown upon his head, perpetually singing praises before the Father's throne. Nothing reflects so much honor on a workman as a trial of his work, and its endurance of it. Many of the most vicious men, who have destroyed the power of their bodies, have an easy, painless death, from the fact that there is nothing to struggle against death, but, then, though they die like lambs, they wake up in sorrow. Do not put any confidence in deathbeds, my dear friends, do not look on them as evidences of Christianity. The greatest evidence is not how a man dies, but how he lives. Instead, then, of crying, or wishing to be away from the battle, brace yourself up in the name of the Lord, think every wish to escape the fight is but a desertion of your master. Do not so much as think of rest, but remember, that though you may cry, "Let me retire into the tent," you will not be admitted until you return a victor. Therefore, stop here, and work and labor. So would some of you who have tried to preach, and found you could not succeed as you desired. But do not be downhearted, my brother, a Christian should never get so. If you have but one listener today, perhaps the next time the number will be doubled, and so on, till they cannot be counted. The old nature is very strong, and they have tried to curb and tame it, but it will not be subdued, and they find themselves, though anxious to be better, if anything growing worse than before. The heart is so hard, the will is so obstinate, the passions are so furious, the thoughts are so volatile, the imagination is so ungovernable, the desires are so wild, that the man feels that he has a den of wild beasts within him, which will eat him up sooner than be ruled by him. A man might as well hope to hold the north wind in the hollow of his hand as expect to control by his own strength those boisterous powers which dwell within his fallen nature. This is a greater feat than any of the fabled labors of Hercules. God is wanted here. As surely as a stone, if it be flung up into the air, soon comes down again to the ground, so do I, though I am sent up to heaven by earnest preaching, return again to my insensible state. Alas! I am easily fascinated with the basilisk eyes of sin, and am thus held as under a spell, so that I cannot escape from my own folly. That which was said at our Lord's birth was also declared in his death, for when the soldier pierced his side forthwith came there out blood and water, to set forth the double cure by which we are delivered from the guilt and the defilement of sin. When the Lord makes a new man of him, then all things wear a different aspect. So great is this change, that I once heard a convert say, "Either all the world is changed, or else I am." The new nature follows after right as naturally as the old nature wanders after wrong. What a blessing to receive such a nature! Only the Holy Ghost can give it.